Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. At BSERP Show. Now, let's get into the show. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayden Suprenant. This is the Brayden Suprenant Show, live and local each and every day from 10 to 2. It's pleased to announce that we are having on a guest that is a former employee of 97 Through the Fan, back when he was in college at Palomar Junior College before he went on to bigger and better things over at Arizona State, and then found himself being a reporter for Sports360AZ.com. His name is Jordan Spurgeon, fellow colleague of mine, kicking ass out there in Arizona, and he covers the Arizona Diamondbacks for Sports360AZ, as well as a bunch of other things, and he joins us on the Brayden Suprenant Show. Jordan, what's going on, man? Heard you're flying out to, Big 12 Media Days?
Yeah, Brayden, you're too kind there. Going to Big 12 Media Day, so before we get off this call, you're going to have to tell me what you want me to ask your TCU Horned Frogs. I'll see if I can sneak in some stuff for you down there, over there in Dallas.
I got to start my own podcast just to talk about all the things that I like to talk about, because I have all this Big 12 content I'd love to break down, and Jordan could be my Big 12 correspondent with all the news and notes that he can get at the Big 12 Media Days. But let's talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks. And you know, we had another guest on the last time the Padres played Arizona, and the question is still kind of the question that is right now about the Diamondbacks. With all the injuries and with where they sit in the standings, what are they going to do coming up at the deadline? And since the Padres have played the Diamondbacks, nothing has really changed. They're just kind of in the same spot in the standings. Their injuries are relatively the same, although they lost Corbin Carroll now for a significant amount of time. They still feel like they're relatively close to the wild card, but are things starting to change in the direction of selling for Arizona compared to buying at this year's trade deadline?
I mean, that's been the discussion and the talk for a few weeks now. You look at it, I mean, 44-46, 3-7 on their last homestand. You know, even despite that, things haven't really changed in the standings. They've been hovering around four games back in the wild card. So it's going to be a weird time for the Diamondbacks. You know, I wrote on it today over at Sports360AZ.com, kind of laying things out. And you touched on it, Brayden. I mean, you look at the injuries to Corbin Burnes, Justin Martinez, AJ Puck, the bullpen completely depleted. You have one reliable high leverage reliever in Shelby Miller. Even he is 10 of 15 as in save opportunities this year. He's more of an eighth inning guy, in my opinion, or even a seventh inning guy. The fact that he's having to be your closer as your one reliable arm causes a lot of concern. So for the Diamondbacks, it's a weird spot. You have your highest payroll in team history. You want to go all in and go for it. But, you know, you look at this team in 2023, they were in a similar spot. They made one move to go get Paul Sewald. That move patched the entire bullpen. The bullpen this year doesn't feel like they're one move away. So when you look at where things stack up in the National League with three teams also vying right behind the Padres for that final wild card spot, And then you look at the teams below and how many of them are actually going to be sellers. And the Diamondbacks might be leaning towards selling. They got a lot of contracts, especially offensively, that are coming off the books and in the starting rotation. So at this point, if they don't have a good week in Southern California against the Padres and then the Angels, I expect them to sell.
We're talking with Jordan Spurgeon, who covers the Diamondbacks with many other jobs that he has for Sports360AZ.com, reporter for them out there in Arizona, as we give you a preview of the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres for the second stint of a couple more this season between the division foes. Tonight's starter, Zach Gallen, going against Yu Darvish. It'll be the first time that we see Yu Darvish on the hill for the Padres in 2025. Won't be the first time that the Diamondbacks fans see Zach Gallen. A little bit inflated ERA, but still relatively one of their better pitchers in the rotation. What have we seen out of Zach Gallen in recent starts?
Yeah, in recent starts, he's kind of figured it out a little bit. He's been getting into the sixth inning, getting to the seventh inning, and he's starting to turn the page. But he kind of is the epitome of what the Diamondbacks are this year. Very up and down, which equals 500. They've been playing 500 baseball the entire year. His starts have been pretty 500. One start, he looks solid. The next, he doesn't have his fastball command. He leads the league in walks. He has one of the highest ERAs in baseball right now, despite having a couple starts where he doesn't walk anybody. And his fastball is in the zone, and he's getting through guys quickly, which is sort of the vintage Zach Gallen. So it's hard to make what expect with Zach Gallen, and it's hard to see what his potential trade implications could be, because he is on an expiring contract and he has had enough good starts where maybe a team on the East Coast where he seems to pitch better would be interested in dealing for him eventually. But he has been very up and down this year, and the big thing to watch for him is the walks. If he walks a lot of guys early, kind of goes with any pitcher, but him specifically this year, it's going to spell trouble.
Offensively for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Jordan, Eugenio Suarez has had a phenomenal season. Josh Naylor, obviously a big add during this last offseason, and he's a rental for the Arizona Diamondbacks. A couple other parts, obviously, Ketel Marte, guy that misses some time due to injury, but has been really turning it on as he usually does. And then, of course, Corbin Carroll's now on the injured list, but offensively, the Diamondbacks have a lot of bats to be able to maybe even compete with a section of not having to, you know, trying to overcome the starting rotation injuries and the pitching injuries that they have had. But as you watch this Diamondbacks team play, are they going to have to add multiple arms if they want to be competitive because of how their offense is? Or do you think they can swing their way back into contention?
It's tough. They're fourth in runs scored this year. 461. The Dodgers and Yankees scored more runs than them, but they're 26th in ERA. So the offense is doing its part, and Corbin Carroll's kind of been slow for a while. He actually just came back over the weekend playing through a broken wrist. They say it can't get much worse. He's kind of toughing it out playing through, whether that's the right move or not remains to be seen. But, you know, the way the offense is playing and the way the starters have been in a rotation, you know, despite the bullpen blowing double-digit leads this year, you know, games where they had a lead. This is still a team that can win 82 to 88 games as currently constructed. Now, if you want to make the playoffs, I imagine you're going to want to be closer to 90 wins. So, yeah, you would have to go out and deal for a couple bullpen arms. I would imagine in a perfect world, they would go out and get two high leverage guys and maybe somebody else that can be kind of towards the bottom of the bullpen, because they are completely depleted with injuries. Even at the minor league level, some of the young guys they expected to come up this year, someone like Adre Jameson now has a bone spur after having Tommy John. He had a save earlier this year when he was called up. So they have just no depth in the bullpen right now. So if they want to get to that 90 win mark, which seems to be around the area to make a wild card spot this year, they're going to have to address the bullpen. And if they feel like they can't, again, that's where we come back to them selling pieces like a Gino Suarez, like a Josh Naylor, like a Zach Gallen or a Merrill Kelly or a Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who could potentially fit over there in San Diego as well.
We're talking with Jordan Spurgeon, who covers the Arizona Diamondbacks and a lot of sports. There's a lot of them in the Phoenix area for Sports360AZ.com. Let's talk about the fans' reaction to, obviously, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have a lot of teams to compete with. We've talked about it with your colleague, Brad Sesmat, a lot about how it's always been a Phoenix Suns town. Sounds like there's been an update on stadium funding about the Arizona Diamondbacks, but overall, in a city that has a lot to compete with in terms of sports, what has been the fan output for the Diamondbacks this season, despite all the injuries and them hanging around 500?
That's a very split fan base. I would say slightly over half the fan base at this point has been calling all season for Torey Lovello's job and now Mike Hazen's job as well for not constructing the bullpen. A lot of them, you know how it is on X when you look at certain fan accounts. It's just every little thing is the manager's fault every single time, no matter what. He can put in a reliever that hadn't given up a run in five games. The reliever blows the game. Oh, it's the manager's fault for putting him in. It's gotten to that point with fans, and I think it's because this is now the second or third time in Torey Lovello's 9 years where a team expected to be ahead of where it is, you know, in that 95 to 100 win range potentially before the season, it is falling off. But the other half of the fan base realizes injuries are part of the game. You know, a lot of people question, are the Diamondbacks doing something wrong because they have such a slur of elbow injuries and Tommy John surgeries? That's kind of the debate that we talk about with Torey almost every single day in pregame. And a lot of it really, I mean, if you want my opinion on it, it's just the way kids are coming up playing baseball, playing travel ball year round from the time they're 10 and on. Elbow injuries are part of the game. Some years your team's going to have a bunch. Some years you're going to get lucky and not have any. It's just part of it. At this time, I don't think that necessarily falls on the training staff. So the fans are very concerned. I would say attendance has been down a little bit the last couple of weeks. You know, even 4th of July weekend, it wasn't as packed as it was the last 2 years. Obviously, coming off a World Series run 2 years ago, drew a lot of excitement last year. But I would say fans are kind of at the point where they want to see what the team can do in the future because they don't feel like this is a World Series contender, and they're probably not sure if there's a way to fix it. So it's an interesting time in Arizona for sure, because I think Mike Hazen and co. feel differently.
This might be a make-or-break series for the Arizona Diamondbacks this week with four games here in San Diego. Padres could potentially knock them out of contention with a good week against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Jordan, safe travels to the Big 12 media days. Look forward to talking to you again, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, appreciate it, Braden. Have a good one, and catch up soon.
Jordan Spurgeon, reporter for Sports360AZ.com, joining us on the Braden Soprenet Show. Doing a great job out there in Arizona. A lot of stuff to cover in Arizona. A lot of sports teams. Arizona Diamondbacks. Padres take 3 out of 4 this week. They take 3 out of 4 this week or even sweep the Diamondbacks. I don't know why they would do that. It'd be very difficult to do, but at home, you could knock Arizona out of contention. This could be the final blow for the Arizona Diamondbacks this week, in which they turn into sellers, which would flood the market and make the Padres situation a little bit better. Later on, we'll discuss whether or not there's any type of move in which you will trade interdivision with the Diamondbacks. Now, for me, I don't necessarily care. And I learned this a long time ago. As long as you're focused on making your ball club better, you can't worry about other teams. You got to make your team the best team you could possibly make it. And if it happens to be trading within the division, you happen to trade within the division. When you start thinking about other teams potentially or whatever, that they, you can't worry about those things. But we talk about the trade deadline coming up. And I said again, if the Arizona Diamondbacks lose 3 out of 4 this week, it could be the final nail in the coffin of 2025. They might pivot with all the players that they have to sell and go into selling mode, which would flood the market with more players that the Padres could potentially bid on, or make it a lot cheaper for a left fielder, catcher, everything like that. AJ Preller has narrowed his list down to what he is targeting at the trade deadline. What is it? We'll find out when we come back on the Braden Soprenet Show on San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again to Jordan Spurgeon joining us today. It was pretty cool. Got to work with Jordan here back in 2019. Still a student at Palomar College from Murrieta. Went on to the Cronkite School at Arizona State. Got a job in Phoenix working for a guy that used to work in town, Brad Sesmat. Did that in 2020. He's been there ever since. Done a great job covering high school. Seen him covering a lot of college events. Covers the Diamondbacks, all the pro teams. Doing a great job out there. Very proud to see how he's made himself a name out there in Arizona. It's really cool, and it was pretty cool to have him on the show. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I teased it going to break. Some of you might have saw this already. But A.J. Preller was on MLB Network Radio this morning. It was on yesterday. He was on with MLB Network Radio, and he was asked about some trade deadline things, obviously. And apparently, the Padres have seemed to have narrowed down their shopping list for the trade deadline. A.J. Preller was on MLB Network Radio, and this is what he had to say.
But again, I think the biggest thing is, you know, from my standpoint in this chair, we're prepared because we've got great scouts, analysts, staff, coaching staff that, you know, they all participate in the process. You know, we feel like we have a pretty good pulse on the league and who's out there. It doesn't always mean you're going to make great decisions, but I think we're in position, you know, with talented players in our organization, both at the major league and minor league level, to at least be in these conversations. And then you've got to, as a GM, evaluate like how realistic it is that your team can win and contend. Then try to weigh that out versus future, you know, and wanting to make sure that's a sustained run. So, you know, we've had the chance here, you know, over the last 5 years to be in three playoff runs, and we've had five in a row where we've been in the mix till the end. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, we'll look at our team here this year. You know, getting Darvish King back would be huge. The bullpen's been strong. We've got a lot of different weapons in the pen. We've had some you could add to a strength. And on the offense side, it's probably rounding out the depth of the lineup. You know, I think, you know, like you mentioned, the top of the lineup should be strong. You know, and you look up and you've got a Jake Cronenworth hitting seventh and eighth some nights, but you've got to be deep on 1-9. And I think probably adding a bat or two is something that we're going to look at here in the next few weeks to try to help our team get to October.
So that was A.J. Preller on MLB Network Radio, on Sirius XM Radio. It goes along with some of the things that Kevin Acey said in today's newsletter, which I want to dive into and add it, which goes to the catching situation, which we'll talk about later on the show. But, you know, I don't know necessarily if they can find a catcher at the trade deadline, but the thing that I thought was very interesting about the pitching staff, and it's mostly with the bullpen, is the Padres have a very good bullpen, one of the better ones, if not the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. And they got a lot of depth there, too. With that depth, they have even more depth in the minor leagues. The minor league bullpen names have been great. I'm trying to find exactly where it said in the article, and I'll pull it up. I'll find it eventually. But It went along the lines of the Padres have been asked about some of their young pitching when it comes to trades, when you're trying to go find a trade partner, right? Because you got to have something of value to trade. And they have been asked about their young relief corps. Here it is. Teams continue to ask the Padres about their young relief pitchers. This is from Kevin Acey's daily newsletter. Both in the major leagues and the minor leagues, but the Padres seem more inclined to add to that strength than deal from it, which is very interesting. You would think with the amount of, should I say, resources in the bullpen, the Padres would take some of those resources away in order to trade for another bat, maybe two, to trade for, you know, I don't think they're going to get a starting pitcher, but to trade for a pitcher or maybe trade for a catcher or something like that. But the Padres have said they're more inclined to add to that strength and deal from it. Getting Yu Darvish back is definitely huge. Do the Padres think with him back and King potentially coming back in August, they said if you're going to see King back, he won't come back until at least August, also part of the daily newsletter. Load up on the bullpen and you can get enough starters. You want to go the way the Dodgers did last year with only two starting pitchers. I don't think anybody really wants to do that. But it's very interesting. So lays out couple of bats. I think that's very on par for what we've been saying for the last couple of weeks. Added depth is going to make this lineup better than it is. Better than it already is. So it'll be interesting to see what the Padres come up with. In terms of the catching situation, we'll get to that in the next segment. Is the catching situation is a little bit of a gray area. As well as something about, could the Padres potentially trade Dylan Cease? The morning show asked Dennis Lynn about that earlier today. We'll get to that later as well. Do you want to get your phone calls? 833-288-9973, 833-288-9973. John in Carlsbad, you're the Braden Soprano Show. What's going on, man?
Come on, Braden. Appreciate the phone call. Want to get your perspective on trading prospects. Because it seems like right now, with a lot of the trades that have gone down over the last couple, 3 years, there's a lot of prospects that could have potentially helped our ball club. In the long run, I'm talking about James Wood, Mackenzie Gore, right? The short-term rental that we had with Juan Soto versus hanging on to some of those prospects versus trading them. What's your thought process behind that?
I think when it comes to trading prospects, the decision always has to happen in the now. You can't be thinking about, well, maybe this guy in the future or this, that. You have to think about it in the now. And so when that decision came about, You have to understand when your window of opportunity is. Now, the window of opportunity for the Padres is now, and it's been now for the last couple of years. I mentioned it in the open of my show. You can't punt on a prime Manny Machado year, which means you, if you are contending at the deadline, which the Padres are, you have to go for it, and whatever that may be is what you go for. The problem I have with the prospect thing, first of all, not all of them are going to pan out. And if they do, great. But you have to give up something to get something in return. And so when you look back at the hindsight of James Wood and C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and everything like that, you have to factor in, when are these players, in our mind, helping us during our window of opportunity? And if it's further down the road, then you got to give up some of these players. You know, James Wood and those guys, right now, this year, it seems like they'd be on the team, but like they weren't going to help you win a World Series in the last couple of years. As of right now, with some of the outfield situations the Padres have, yeah, it'd be great to have James Wood. But at the same time, Juan Soto was helping you win a World Series in 2022 more than James Wood was. In fact, Juan Soto was helping you win a World Series in 2022, 2023, and 2024 more than James Wood was. And so for that window of opportunity to trade, because you were going to get 22, 23, and 24 of Soto, even though you ended up trading him before that point, that made more sense at the time to help your window of opportunity. So that's where it comes down to. Now, I don't think you should trade everybody away. I think the Juan Soto thing was kind of an anomaly. That's a trade that doesn't happen all the time. But you want your teams to go for it. The other thing I don't like about like keeping prospects to an extent is you don't know what the future is going to be like. I've mentioned this multiple times. Let's say the Padres didn't make that move and they ended up losing in the first round of the playoffs, didn't beat the Dodgers or anything like that. But they kept James Wood, and now you have James Wood, but then Machado goes down with an injury for a year, or this guy goes down with an injury, or players that you have signed long-term start to crumble. And I know I have a lot of what-if questions, but what your situation is right now in the present with your star players, there's no guarantee you're going to get that exact same output the next year or the year after that or the year after that. And I understand you're trying to maintain a program or maintain an organization to be competitive year in and year out. I think they've done a pretty good job of that. But in terms of trading prospects, how I view it is, and this is how I think a lot of organizations view it, in our window of opportunity, who gives us a better chance to win? And if that window is the next 3 or 4 years, is it Ethan Salas or is it Jaren Duran? Just to use the name out there because he seems to be something that the Padres are interested in. If you answer the question Jaren Duran does, then you got to think about doing that trade. If the answer is Ethan Salas, like, oh no, well, we got to keep this guy. I think all of that plays. I think it's the big reason why the White Sox traded away generational player in Fernando. You don't know what the future is going to look like. So sometimes you got to take some chances, and not all of them are going to work out. And when you look at it from hindsight, obviously, it doesn't seem like it worked out because Wood is an all-star, Gore is an all-star. But you also don't know the opportunity of them playing at the big league level in Washington might have led them to be a little bit better. You can't be afraid of the future. Scared money don't make no money. So from that perspective, like, I think anybody's on the table. Now, that being said, you get a player like Leo DeVries, right? And even in Ethan Salas, and we're going to talk about Ethan Salas in a second, because he's been rumored to be available, potentially. I don't think you can trade some of those pieces. You got to try to keep one or two in your organization. And as I mentioned before, the decision with C.J. Abrams came down to Abrams or Merrill. Who would you rather have? I think a lot of people say Merrill, despite him potentially not doing well the last couple of months. So, kind of a long-winded answer, but for me, in terms of, you have to go for it. Every time you have a chance to go win a World Series, and you think you have a team that can do it, you have to go for it, because every year that you burn of one of your better players because they're getting older, is the more you look like the Angels. You could be the Angels, right? I mean, you don't want to burn years of Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jackson. You don't want to burn their prime years because those contracts only work if you win at the beginning of those contracts. People already traded Xander Bogaerts. They are tired of him already. But the contract pays off if you win a World Series with him in the next couple of years, not when he's 40. That's the price of doing business. The cost of doing business and getting players like Manny and Xander and Fernando is paying them until they're 40 years old. That's how the Padres can afford to have those star players. You're either paying them more in a smaller amount of time, or you're paying them less every year over a long period of time. It's the cost of doing business, especially for a team that's still small market in the San Diego Padres. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Get back to your phone calls. We're going to talk a little bit about the catching situation and hear from Dennis Lynn when we come back on the Braden Soprenet Show, sending us on Sports Station 97 through the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a development on the Braden Soprano Show at the lunchtime hour. Somebody might not be getting a foul for the first time, but we'll have to wait and see. Coming up in the noon hour. Do want to get back to your phone calls. We're going to get to the sports thread, and we'll try to maybe talk a little bit about this Dylan Cease situation that was brought up on the morning show. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Tyler in Point Loma. Tyler on the Braden Soprano Show. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Braden? I came in a little late to the conversation here you were just having about possible trade and getting rid of prospects. And I heard you talking about Salas. Do you think there's not interest in getting rid of DeVries? And would that not arguably be a better option with Salas possibly being, you know, a unicorn in the catching position, DeVries being, you know, just a shortstop where we don't really need many more shortstops?
Well, Tyler, the DeVries, I appreciate the phone call. I would much rather keep Leo DeVries, because he's an athlete. His mental makeup's great. He's mature above his years. You know, Xander Bogaerts is your shortstop for now. I don't think he's your shortstop during the remainder of his contract. You can't be giving up a guy like Leo DeVries. Now, I still think, you know, Leo's way more valuable, I think, than Ethan Salas, even though Ethan Salas is a catcher. The thing that really keeps Ethan Salas on this team right now, in my opinion, is the fact that he's a catcher. If Ethan Salas wasn't a catcher, he'd probably be rumored to be getting shipped off somewhere else. But the fact that he's a catcher and a really good defensive catcher and expected to be a pretty decent hitter, even though he hasn't really shown it yet, but he's also, 19 years old, add him to the list of should be trading these guys. But, you know, there was a report, and we'll get to it in a second, about Ethan Salas. I mean, there was an article that we're going to talk about in the noon hour in which it talks about prospects most likely to move, and Ethan Salas was on the list in an article written by Jim Bowden in The Athletic. He mentioned prospects most likely to move, Ethan Salas, but then goes on to say, doubt the Padres will trade him unless they can get an all-star major league in return. So which one is it? Is he most likely to move or doubtful to move? I'm asking this question out loud. Frank, maybe you can let me know what's going on inside Jim Bowden's mind. Don't you think that's a little contradictory?
Brother, I don't know what's going on in my mind, let alone someone else's.
It was your weekend to watch Jim Bowden's articles.
Was it?
It was. That's why you posted on a thing.
Boy, I did a bad thing. I did.
Isn't that counterintuitive?
Yeah, but I mean, if you go through the article, and again, we'll go through it in the next segment or at least the next hour, it's not necessarily that these guys are, that if a big prospect is going to be moved, these are the most likely ones that would.
Did every team have to have somebody on there?
No, I think there was only 9, and Salas was the 9th.
Why even list them? This is probably what the thought process was. AJ Preller makes big moves. A.J. Preller's not afraid to trade top prospects. A.J. Preller is not going to trade Leo DeVries. Let's put Ethan Salas on there. He's also hurt right now. A.J. Preller is also not afraid to trade injured personnel. Here's the thing. People are starting to lean into, well, they should trade Ethan Salas because, you know, who knows about the back injury. Does anybody remember Andres Munoz? Guy was throwing over 100 miles an hour, blew out his arm, had Tommy John surgery. He got traded for Austin Nola. People are like, oh, man, got to see it, but he's injured now. Who knows? And then all of a sudden, he became one of the best closers in baseball. I mean, it happens. By the way, that year,
Austin Nola was hitting like 300 at the time. It was 2020, but you're talking about adding a catcher that has offensive production. Be careful what you wish for, because who knows how long that production will last. Just look at Kyle Higashioka. Aside from Saturday, which happened to be probably his best game all year, he came into the weekend with less home runs than Martin Maldonado and hitting 212. And the same, I think he was around the same OPS. Kyle Higashioka, who everybody wanted for like $5 million. He is slightly more productive offensively than Martin Maldonado. Aside from batting average this season than Martin Maldonado. And he costs you five times as much because Maldonado's making the league minimum. There's not a lot of options out there in the catching position for offense. I mean, they caught lightning in a bottle last year with Kyle Higashioka. You can't give him a contract extension on top of that. And, like, hope he's going to continue it. Same thing with Gary Sanchez. I got lightning in the ball with Gary Sanchez. I got DFA'd by the Yankees that year. He wanted, like, $10 million. Like, all right, see ya. Padres already spent most of their money. They can't be dropping it on catchers that might hit. They have to be sure of it. I don't think they're going to find a catcher at the deadline that's going to drastically improve their offense. I hope they do. And I really hope that they don't go down the Sean Murphy path, because I think that has disastrous contract written all over it. It's a major problem, the catching position, and we'll talk about that in the noon hour. But at the same time, it's not like there's a lot of answers out there in Major League Baseball that fit those needs, which puts, I think, even more pressure on the Padres to not trade Ethan Salas at the deadline. You're better off waiting and seeing if Ethan Salas could be a unicorn than you are on this wild goose chase for something that might not actually exist. And so in the meantime, you might have to see what Luis Camposano has. Again, we talked about this a week and a half ago. Give him 2 weeks for the All-Star game and see if he could just start doing something to get you any type of offensive production. I want to take a deeper dive in that. We don't have time to take a deeper dive in that this hour. I want to do it next hour with the catching position, but there's a lot of questions that need to be asked. Brandon and Carlsbad, you're on the Braden Soprano Show. What's going on, Brandon?
What's up, fellas? Let's be frank. What's up, buddy? Well, you know, you guys, we can speculate our heads till they spin off our shoulders and look for some clarity and direction for an answer to every last problem we've been talking about. My song and dance will remain the same. I'm going to deal with who we got before the trade deadline really gets heated. And that's if our freaking bats can wake up and do the dirty work. We don't have to rely on such a perforated pitching staff who has done a great job of keeping us in games. Because if you look at our run totals the past 20 games and what we know our bats can do, that's just where I'm leaning. Do I know anything? No. I'm just a fan. I'm here to rile people up and kick the beehive and say what's up to Braden and Frank and, you know, Friar Faithful. Let's roll, man. We got this one at home. Let's go into this this break with some dubs under our belt. We're still in a good spot. And all the catching stuff and the pitching stuff and our who we trading, you know, we'll see in the end, boys. But other than that, let's go, Padres!
Brandon's fired up on a Monday. Appreciate the phone call, Brandon. Somebody asked, what's the problem with Sean Murphy? Here's what you have to sign up for Sean Murphy, if that's the case. First of all, the Braves have to decide that they want to sell. Even though they're in a position probably that leans sell more than buy, they did get Profar back, and you know, with some injuries coming back, you know, they've done in the past, they've done some, basically they've performed surgery to their roster and have gone on to have great playoff runs. So they, in general, are usually not a team that's selling too much at the deadline. Now, here's the Sean Murphy situation. And again, this is what I mentioned. This is what you're signing up for. If you're okay with this, then go for it. But I think there's too many risks involved with Sean Murphy. One, he's a guy that gets hurt a lot. He's already missed a significant amount of time this year. And he's 30 years old. He turns 31 not too far from now. He's 30.8 years old. So this is his age 30 season. So you'd get the rest of his age 30 season. You get his age 31, 32, and 33 season. He's getting $15 million a year. And he's under contract until 2029 if the team elects to pick up his club option. So you're locking into a lot of years of Sean Murphy getting $15 million a year. Like, you got to hope that he's ready to go and is not going to get hurt all the time. It's a good player for the now, but that's, you know, we're talking about future pickups. Like, are you willing to part ways with an Ethan Salas for him? I mean, then what happens after Sean Murphy? I mean, by the time Salas comes up, even if you keep Salas and you trade for a Sean Murphy, now you're paying $15 million for a backup catcher when you can get a backup catcher for basically league minimum, as we see with the Padres employing two backup catchers in Elias Diaz and Martin Maldonado. No, is Sean Murphy at age 32, 33 going to be the same type of catcher? I mean, that takes a toll on your legs and your knees. It's a big risk. 4 years, 50. I mean, you got to be committed to this guy being a stud for the next 4 years if you want to pull the trigger on Sean Murphy. And Drake Baldwin, again, he is the future catcher out there in Atlanta, but they're not ready to pull the trigger on that yet. We've seen the articles. Ken Rosenthal had it. They're not very likely to trade Sean Murphy at the deadline. Aside from that, that's basically it. I'd rather just try to figure out what you got with Luis Camposano and company and then do what Frank said. Maybe you can sign JT Realmuto in the offseason for like a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, whatever it is. But he might cost more money than you could afford on a catching position. It's going to be interesting what the Padres do in that spot. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're going to continue your phone calls in just a second, but Frank's got a sports thread for us.
You know that group chat, the one that's always blowing up with the biggest sports takes, debates, and breaking news?
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me!
Yeah, we've got that too. Welcome to the Sports Thread, where we break down the top 5 stories in sports, just like you would with your crew.
Oh no! Disaster! What a bad idea!
No filters, no silence, just real talk.
All right, Frank, what do you got for us today?
We
you got
have,
barbecue back there?
No, I do not have a barbecue back here, unfortunately.
Number one.
Instead, I'm over here breaking my teeth on frozen Skittles. Anyway.
Oh, is that why you kept saying? I just thought they were Skittles. Is it they refrigerated Skittles?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Because they're
let those thaw, dude.
Because they're in the vending machine.
Yeah, the vending machine's refrigerated because it has sandwiches in there and stuff. So.
We knew the Washington Nationals were bad, but we did not expect the news that broke after their game yesterday. After getting swept by the Boston Red Sox this weekend, the Nats decide to make a change by firing Dave Martinez and general manager Mike Rizzo. While it is fair to expect a team that is struggling to fire their leadership, it's not necessarily expected for them to pull the trigger a week before the MLB draft. An MLB draft in which the Washington Nationals have the number one overall pick. What mistake was about to happen if they had to fire Mike Rizzo right before the draft?
I don't understand that move. Unless he thought, you know, unless they didn't like what they were trending to get a pick. He's got the number one overall pick. Padres fans have been talking about how great the trade was for the Nationals to trade away Juan Soto and bring in all these players. Rizzo did that. Rizzo won a World Series in 2019. They have all these great young players. What are they upset with? Are they upset that they're not competing for a wild card spot this year? Like, what are they upset with?
I have no idea.
The fact that they're firing Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez right now is showing, and this is a brand new ownership, by the way. And they haven't, maybe because they haven't signed these guys, they haven't signed C.J. Abrams to a contract extension.
No.
They haven't signed Mackenzie Gore to a contract extension. They haven't signed James Wood to a contract extension. Some of those contracts are coming up very quickly. Most notably, Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about that trade all you want and how Washington made out with some good players, but if they don't end up being Nationals, they go to the open market and free agency, that's a major loss for the Nats.
it completely undoes the trade. Absolutely undoes the
now,
trade.
Now, does the new general manager, is the new general manager going to do what A.J. Preller did when he became a new manager, general manager, and get rid of some players that he didn't bring in that maybe he doesn't like? I mean, they did it with Trey Turner. Did it with Max Fried. I mean, just saying, like, if they don't sign those guys to contract extensions, what are we doing?
Yeah. By the way, this hour, Miguel Cairo, former major leaguer, has been announced as their interim manager.
Number two.
We don't go to Formula One too often, but the story that came out of this week's Grand Prix was just too good to pass up. This weekend marked the halfway point of the F1 season with its yearly stop at Silverstone for the British Grand Prix. A wet and wild race saw Brit Lando Norris take his first British GP victory ahead of Oscar Piastri, who finished second. But the story was who finished third. Sauber's Nico Hülkenberg took his first Formula One podium after 15 years and 239 GP starts. Braden, we'd love to see parity in sports, but would too much parity make moments like these so much less special?
You're saying if there was too much parity, there wouldn't be people that have missed out for 15 years and get that extra special win if they win it?
Well, no, because if there's like too much, if there's too much parity, then then the underdog coming up and winning doesn't necessarily mean it's special. It's just a thing that happens if everybody wins every single year. So basically what I'm saying is if every team, let's just say every team in Major League Baseball was in playoff contention every single year, wouldn't it make it less special if, like, say the Rockies somehow magically went on a tear and made the playoffs somehow this year?
You're trying to make it sound like the Cinderella story doesn't have the same luster?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so. I think the more parity is better in Major League, in all professional sports, because I think it makes it fun and entertaining. Even though you don't like the NFL, the National Football League is king in the United States for, one, it's being football, but two, anybody's got a chance to win the whole thing every single year. I think that gives you more eyeballs than just the one Cinderella that happens once in a while compared to teams loading up and like, oh, look, the Texans are good this year. Oh, look. You know, I mean, could you imagine if like every other year you got some random team in baseball just kicking ass? Because it's so parity, like Colorado's doing really well, or Miami's doing well, or some traditional teams that usually stink are doing very well. I prefer the parity. I think the parity's more entertaining than just the one Cinderella story that might happen.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree.
Number three.
Do you want to go with NFL or baseball with this last
Let's go one? NFL.
Lamar Jackson has felt more and more confident as his NFL career has gone on, and this year could be a year like none other. During a podcast with comedian Kevin Hart, Jackson stated that the NFL is getting easier for him because the game is slowing down. Jackson said, quote, "As I have been getting older in the league, my mindset has been different, and the game has gotten a lot easier for me." Are we about to see a career year from Lamar Jackson, who's already a two-time MVP?
I think it's highly possible. He's had a lot of great seasons. Now, I think this says more about what's playoff Lamar going to be like. Because if he has another great season and then stinks in the playoffs, how much easier is it then? We'll talk more NFL as we get closer to the NFL season. Next hour is great. We got a lot of teases we got to pay off when it comes to Padres baseball, like the catching situation and your phone calls. And could the Padres trade Dylan Cease? All to come. Braden Suprenant Show. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.